You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. I am going to give you the true State of the Union address. Yes, I think you would be well advised to hear the true State of the Union address. Of course, this 20-minute real State of the Union address will begin and end with the words of Barack Hussein Obama. Please let me say that again. The true State of the Union address that you are about to hear will begin and end with the words of Barack Hussein Obama. However, in this real true State of the Union address, you will hear also from the first of the Clinton-Bush syndicate of sudden destruction that is now crowned with Obama. You will hear from that first leader of the Clinton-Bush syndicate of sudden destruction, now crowned with Obama, Daddy George Bush. Then you will hear briefly from Henry Kissinger. You'll also hear briefly from Bill Clinton and Clinton's economic advisor, Dick Morris, clearly stating that the conspiracy theorists were absolutely right all along. You will hear from Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs is not to be heard from again in the mainstream media. Lou Dobbs broke the rule of sudden death for anyone in the mainstream media. Lou Dobbs actually said the three words. Yes, you won't hear from Lou Dobbs anymore because he said the three words that everyone in the American mainstream media knows will get you fired and blackballed, if not even killed, if you say those three forbidden words that Lou Dobbs actually said one time on CNN. Oh, the three words? Oh, yeah. Obama's birth certificate. Those are the three words. You can't say those. Obama's birth certificate. You can't say those three words in the same sentence. You can denigrate the people that might want to hear about that, but if you're in the mainstream media, just ask Lou Dobbs if it's okay to say Obama's birth certificate. Well, Lou Dobbs today stands as living proof that no one in the mainstream media can survive saying Obama's birth certificate. You'll also hear from the British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown. You'll hear from Sheriff Richard Mack. You'll hear from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And you'll hear from Dwight David Eisenhower. You'll also hear from Robert Welch. Not many people remember Robert Welch, a great man. And you will hear from the only legal black presidential candidate for President of the United States in the 2008 election, Mr. Alan Keyes. You'll also hear from Bridget Gabriel. And finally, you will hear Barack Hussein Obama wrap it up. And I encourage you to pay special attention when you hear Sean Hannity talking about the real State of the Union with the former Clinton economic advisor, Chris Morris. You will hear Chris Morris say the people who have understanding of the real state of the Union know that the big thing is always to be hidden as a not noticed issue. And that's why, though I did not see, I do not intend to see or hear the usurper-in-chief Hussein's January 27, 2010 State of the Union address. No, I did not see it. I don't intend to see it. I don't need to see the usurper-in-chief or the liar-in-chief or the fraudster-in-chief. I don't need to see it. I know he's lying when his mouth moves. But let me say a couple of things that if you did look at it, you probably would have to say, yep, you're right. Even though you didn't see it, you knew what everybody else would see. One thing I would guess you would not hear one single word about Israel. And I'll cover that in an update soon. However, pay attention when you hear the Clinton economic advisor saying that the G20 is coordinating international regulation. The international regulators, the real world oligarchy that controls the United States and other countries, is going to use the International Monetary Fund to put the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States and the U.S. Securities Exchange under the control of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. The American economy is being put under international regulation. That's the real state of the Union. The people who have said the UN is going to take over are right. You'll hear the former Clinton economic advisor say that. The people who have said we are going to have global government in a new world order are right. The so-called crazy conspiracy theory people are right. And the mainstream media has been wrong for calling them crazy because it is they who have been right all along. The U.S. Treasury Secretary has already announced that he, as the top representative and the one who signs all of the U.S. dollar Federal Reserve debt notes, that he supports a global currency. The real show of international regulation would not be mentioned in Obama Hussein's State of the Union address. The big thing which could not be mentioned in the Barack Hussein Obama's State of the Union is the commitment to the destruction of both the Jewish state and the Christian American state. Yes, that's what I would not think you heard mentioned from Barack Hussein Obama in his State of the Union. But that's what really is the big show. The commitment to the destruction of both the Jewish state and the Christian American state. Some may be shocked to hear Hussein Obama still trying to say that he's not wanting to increase poor and middle class taxes, while at the same time, and again, I didn't hear that, I don't have to listen to the liar for hire, while at the same time possibly being the only world political figure that would think his country is so stupid as to want carbon tax fraud schemes, which are the most outrageous fraudulent taxing schemes, the most regressive and hitting hardest the middle class and especially the poor. Only Barack Hussein Obama might be crazy enough to say he wants carbon taxes or cap and trade taxes, recommended by Al Gore and the global warming fraudsters. Let me tell you something. To stimulate growth for any economy, cheap energy of coal, primarily coal, but also of oil and natural gas, cheap energy is the essential thing to stimulate growth for any economy. And cap and trade or carbon taxes represent the final nail in the coffin of the industrial machinery of the West, which keeps so many hundreds of millions of people from starving. And of course, I did not watch Hussein's State of the Union address. I want to share with you the real, true State of the Union address, and therefore would not watch the liar-in-chief. For those who did watch the usurper-in-chief, correct me if I'm wrong in this understanding of what you saw. I think I know what you saw. I didn't look at it, but I think I know what you saw. You saw somebody sitting behind the usurper-in-chief, didn't you? And I bet that behind Hussein, as he spoke, you saw Nancy Pelosi looking like a cheerleader for Hussein. Did you see Nancy Pelosi standing up to give Hussein any standing ovation? I'm just going to ask you that. Did Nancy Pelosi rise from her seat behind Hussein to give him a standing ovation? I bet you saw that. I didn't see it, but I'm guessing you saw that. You see, there's a reason for that. There's a reason why Nancy Pelosi probably looked like she had to pop to her feet and cheer like she was seated in an electric chair. Nancy Pelosi put it in writing that Hussein is in the White House because of her fraud in signing two. Let me say it again. Because of her fraud in signing two nomination certificates. Nancy Pelosi, two different nomination certifications. If the usurper-in-chief goes down by exposing the fraud of the usurper-in-chief, Nancy Pelosi will spend the rest of her life in jail. Correct me if I'm wrong that Nancy Pelosi looked like she was Hussein's cheerleader seated in an electric chair, and every time Obama needed encouragement, somebody flipped a switch and Nancy popped up cheering. No, I didn't watch it. If you watched it, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, please listen to this real, true State of the Union address, and here's Hussein Obama.
We are no longer a Christian nation.
We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation.
We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
Its task will be to develop an overall strategy for America. In this period, when really a new world order can be created, it's a great opportunity. It isn't such a crisis.
Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
Live from New York, Lou Dobbs.
Good evening, everybody. President Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon today calling for a new world order to tackle our global economic crisis.
As far as the common interests that we're pursuing, look, there is the possibility in the next few months of a global New Deal that will involve all the countries of the world. So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, a new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges for the future.
In this new world, such dangerous currents have swept along faster than our efforts to contain them. And that is why we cannot afford to be divided. No one nation, no matter how large or powerful, can defeat such challenges alone.
My name is Richard Mack, and I'm the former sheriff of Graham County, Arizona. And I've been fighting and standing for freedom the last 20 years of my life, and admonishing and hoping that peace officers and sheriffs across this country would keep their oath of office and adhere to their oath of office. And we had a wonderful rally over at Lexington Green, where the first shot was heard around the world that started the path towards the Revolutionary War. The Oath Keepers decided to meet there. The relationship between me and Oath Keepers is really an automatic one. It was a very easy one because I've been preaching about the oath of office for years and years, about two decades now, and their message is the same. If you're in the military, and if you're in law enforcement, and especially if you're one of our nation's sheriffs, you took an oath of office to uphold and defend, preserve, protect, and obey the United States Constitution. If we had law enforcement in America that were doing that, keeping their oath to do just that, we would have our constitutional republic back tomorrow. That's how powerful this movement is. The founding fathers established a system that would keep the federal government impotent. This is the time to reenact that. The 10th Amendment basically tells the federal government, if you ever go outside Article 1, Section 8, where the Constitution delineates and details what they can and cannot do, if they want to get creative, or if they want to expand the federal bureaucracy, or if they want to expand the power of the central government, they must refer to the 10th Amendment, which clearly states, if we forgot anything, you can't do that either. And so the 10th Amendment keeps the federal government in check because the states have the power to tell the federal government to stay out. And then, of course, that's going to just scare governors and state legislatures to death because they might stop federal funding. What are you guys, crazy? Where do you think the federal government gets their money? It comes from you. Stop sending them the money and they won't have anything over you anymore. But the main thing is, let's just follow the Constitution. That's my message. It's been my message for 20 years, and it's the Oath Keeper message. Just keep your oath of office. Follow the Constitution. Is that too simple? The sheriff is the most powerful law enforcement officer in the country and has the ultimate say in his county. No one supersedes his jurisdiction. And I want this made very clear. The President of the United States cannot tell your sheriff what to do. And in that same vein, none of the auxiliary departments below the president can tell the sheriff what to do. Quite to the contrary, when they're in his jurisdiction, he can tell them what to do. And I pray for the day a sheriff in this country will arrest an IRS agent for trespassing or for trying or attempting to victimize citizens in that particular sheriff's county. The sheriff is indeed the ultimate authority in his county. Sheriff, will you or won't you stand against tyranny? Can you imagine any sheriff saying no, or pragmatically saying no by what he does? This is a time for action, and this is a time for sheriffs to stand up and be counted. It's time to walk tall, sheriff. Get on board.
I think in our lifetime we'd be getting lectures from the communist Chinese on capitalism, that Nicolas Sarkozy and other leaders of France, that we'd be getting lectures.
Would be criticizing us for spending too much.
Criticizing America and warning America, interestingly, not to go down the path to socialism.
But there is a big thing that's going to happen in London at this G20, and then they're hiding it, they're camouflaging it, they're not talking about it. Coordination of international regulation. What they are going to do is to put our Fed and our SEC under the control, in effect, of the IMF.
Oh, come on. They're they'll do this.
That's what was in the draft agenda. They call it coordination of regulation. What it really is putting the American economy under international regulation.
Yeah.
And those people who have been yelling, oh, the UN's going to take over global
conspiracy
government.
Conspiracy theorists.
They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Yeah, well, when Geithner,
it's happening.
When Geithner said he would be open to the idea of a global currency last week.
Yeah.
Those conspiracy people had said and suggested that for
That's
years.
Right.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And you know, it's what they always do at these conferences is they have the center show is here,
yeah,
and the side show they don't want you to pay attention to.
Right.
The center show is the size of the stimulus package.
Yeah.
The real show is international regulation of the financial institutions, which is going to happen under the IMF control. And remember, the IMF is run by Europeans,
right,
the World Bank by Americans.
From the bureaus of propaganda of the Axis powers came the confident prophecy that the conquest of our country would be an inside job. The determination of America must not and will not be obstructed by war profiteering.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
One, our first and most important specific undertaking should be to restore the complete independence of the United States. This... this includes our resolution to get us out of the United Nations and get the United Nations out of the United States. Two, we must once again make our money freely redeemable in gold at some realistic price. And we must take all practicable legislative steps to prevent a recurrence of the enormous thievery and other subversive crimes that have been perpetrated on the American people through a contrived inflation by every president from Franklin Roosevelt. Three, we should reduce the number of government bureaus, of government civilian employees, and the whole quantity of government by at least 50%. And we should achieve at least this much reduction in proper fashion through gradually convincing a majority of the American people of the wisdom of such a course. Four, we should withdraw all American troops from every spot on earth that is not American soil, except when and where such troops may be required as decided by Congress to protect American lives and property from criminal vandalism. Five. Five, we should get government out of the areas and functions and activities where government does not belong. Again, all steps to this end should be taken gradually, but nevertheless just as rapidly as enough of the American people can be persuaded to support such progress.
Obama is a radical communist, and I think it's becoming clear. That's what I told people in Illinois, and now everybody realizes it's true. He is going to destroy this country, and we're either going to stop him or the United States of America is going to cease to exist. Is he president of the United States? According to the Constitution, in order to be eligible for president, you have to be a natural-born citizen. He has refused to provide proof that he is, in fact, a natural-born citizen. And his Kenyan relations say that he was born in Nairobi at a time when his mother was too young to transmit U.S. citizenship. So I'm not even sure he's president of the United States. No, that's not a laughing matter. Neither are many of our military people now who are going to court to ask the question, do we have to obey a man who is not qualified under the Constitution? We're in the midst of the greatest crisis this nation has ever seen. And if we don't stop laughing about it and deal with it, we're going to find ourselves in the midst of chaos, confusion, and civil war. It's time we started acting like grown-ups. See, the person you call President Obama, and I frankly refuse to call him that, at the moment, he is somebody who is kind of an alleged usurper, who is alleged to be someone who's occupying that office without constitutional warrant to do so. And he's rushing forward with ideas like destroying our borders, an amnesty bill that will actually have the American taxpayer footing the bill for illegals to come to this country to live, to get housing, and to get everything they want. A couple of years ago, we were arguing over every penny in the United States budget, and it was quite clear we didn't have enough money to go around. Well, somebody asked me where we came up with $2 trillion in the course of the last 6 months. Did we wish for it out of the air? Have people gone mad in this country? You don't have that money. We are claiming that a bankrupt government can save a bankrupt banking system. Explain to me how that happens, because I think that's impossible. And the fact that we have just elected an individual may or may not be qualified, and he presents silly ideas like this and says, let's move forward now. And we're all acting like the laws of economics have been repealed, and we can actually afford to foot the bill with money nobody's got. This is insane. It's got to lead to the collapse of our economy, and it's going to.
What is the religion of Barack Hussein Obama? What is the religion of Barack Hussein Obama? Really, it's a no-brainer. Does that sound like a Christian name to you? Barack Hussein Obama. What you're about to hear is what Barack Hussein Obama's religion is, from his mouth to our ears. The following words are the words of Barack Hussein Obama from various mainstream news sources.
Assalamu alaikum. Many other Americans have Muslims in their families or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them. But my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn. I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction.
You're absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith.
As the Holy Quran tells us, the Holy Quran also says, we will convey our deep appreciation for the Islamic faith, which has done so much over the centuries to shape the world.
I would like to speak directly to the people and leaders of the Islamic Republic of Iran, their great and celebrated culture. Over many centuries, your art, your music, literature, and innovation have made the world a better and more beautiful place. We know that you are a great civilization, and your accomplishments have earned the respect of the United States and the world.
I also know civilization's debt to Islam. And when the first Muslim American was recently elected to Congress, he took the oath to defend our Constitution using the same Holy Quran. Islam is not part of the problem in combating violent extremism. It is an important part of promoting peace.
I simply must raise an objection here. It is a lie to say that Islam promotes peace or is a peaceful religion. Islam and its Muslim adherents must wage war until they bring the entire world under Muslim domination. Muslims do not consider non-Muslims to be authentically human, and the Christian duty to those bound in the satanic religion of Islam is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those that are sanctified by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Christian duty. It is an absolute lie. Any time some Muslim says that Islam is a peaceful religion, or that Islam is not part of the world terrorism problem, it is the biggest part by great measure. Muslims are a huge, gigantic part. It would be very hard for you to put your finger on a terrorist incident in the last 20 years wherein Muslims were not involved. I'm sorry, I can't let that lie stand, that Islam is a religion of peace, or that Muslims are not involved in terrorism. That is an absolute blatant lie for which I cannot remain silent. I do love Muslims because I have my life on the line every single day to get them the gospel, to set them free from the satanic bondage of Islam that Barack Hussein Obama promotes so openly.
The enduring faith of over a billion people is so much bigger than the narrow hatred of a few. In the United States, rules on charitable giving have made it harder for Muslims to fulfill their religious obligation. That's why I'm committed to working with American Muslims to ensure that they can fulfill zakat. It is important for Western countries to avoid impeding Muslim citizens from practicing religion as they see fit. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
We are no longer a Christian nation.
We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation.
The United States has been enriched by Muslim Americans.
Since our founding, American Muslims have enriched the United States. Islam has always been a part of America's story. There is a mosque in every state in our union, and over 1,200 mosques within our borders. Let there be no doubt, Islam is a part of America.
I'd like to take just a second to ask the question and see if you know the answer regarding how many Christian churches and how many Jewish synagogues one would find in the nation, in the whole nation of Saudi Arabia. I would also like to raise the question, has it ever happened in the history of the United States of America since it was founded as a constitutional republic that an American head of state has bowed to another head of state, done obeisance to another head of state? Has that ever happened? Well, we have an illegal president who set a new precedent in Saudi Arabia.
He did bow to the Muslim king while he did not do it to the British Queen of England. And by bowing, he showed the world that I am subservient. I do bow down to you as a Muslim king, something no other president has done with Saudi Arabia. The Saudi king is his peer. He is not his subordinate in order to bow for him. And this is exactly what Obama did. Usually it is out of respect that someone would nod his head when bowing to royalty and the ladies will give curtsy. But Obama went beyond what is required as a head of state and bowed to the Saudi king, and that's unacceptable.
Right,
it sent the wrong symbol.
What, when you say it sends the wrong signal, what signal do you think it sends?
It sent a message that Islam is superior to any other master or king or president in the world. That an American president bound to a Muslim king. It also sent a message that terrorism and jihadism is giving Islam the respect it should have on the world stage, to the point that it made an American president for the first time in history bow to a Muslim king.
Barack Obama gave a speech in Iowa City today, and he wasn't wearing an American flag pin. Those pins have become synonymous with politicians since 9/11. Obama says he doesn't like how the pin has come to represent patriotism in America.
I won't wear that pin on my chest.
Let me speak as clearly and as plainly as I can. America is not and never will be at war with Islam.
Thank you. And Eid Shoma Mubarak.
We are no longer a Christian nation.
We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation.
We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are no longer a Christian nation.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.